Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, Tony and I are going to talk about a marketing strategy that we use that builds a lot of engagement, mind share, and sales for our business, running challenges. So if you've never heard of what a challenge, actually, Tony, what's a challenge?
So a challenge is a, I don't know, we always run it as a video, but I think you could even do this via email or other types of content. But basically where you encourage your followers or your listeners to complete a task or get something started or get something up and running in a certain period of time, and you walk them through all the steps needed or the things that it takes to get to that point.
And just to be clear, all the challenges that you've run, they're all virtual challenges, right? They're not in-person challenges.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So aside, we're going to talk about what we do with our challenges, but I first wanted to talk about some of the challenges that you do on your own that are relatively hands-off.
Yep. So I personally, for the Happy Housewife, when I run challenges, I run them all via email. So as we've talked about on other podcasts, I use Drip. So I set up a campaign in Drip, and I basically promote the challenge on my website and on social media. But then when people sign up, it's all automated through an email sequence, either over 14, 21, or 30 days. And they get an email a day or sometimes every other day that basically encourages them to do certain things. So I have one that's waking up earlier, like getting, you know, kind of taking control of your mornings. I have one that's giving up sugar, which I know is your favorite.
That's the easiest challenge ever, yeah, actually.
Don't eat sugar. Day one, done. I have one on exercise, you know, getting into an exercise routine. And so basically what happens is when people sign up, they then will have this series of emails that I've already written, and they've been written for a long time, that go out on a regular basis that basically give them an actionable thing that they can do every single day for the duration of the challenge.
So I can actually understand, like, when we run a challenge, we're on live every single day on video trying to teach something where you're going to end up with something. I'm just kind of curious how these email challenges work, because you're not actually there personally emailing them, right? It's part of an autoresponder sequence.
Correct. So usually once a year, depends. I usually do a challenge that involves a live component. So we run ours a little differently. I run mine in a Facebook group. So I will go live in the Facebook group on a daily basis for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, depends on the challenge. And then, but what I do is I take that video and then save it for myself. And then for future challenges, they just get to rewatch that same video that I did live on a previous challenge.
Does it create as much engagement when you do it that way? Can you walk me through? I've always been curious about this, actually. Can you walk me through maybe like your no sugar challenge, for example? How do you get engaged? Does it get engagement when you're just doing it in an automated fashion like that?
So we're talking about the ones when I'm not doing it live?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Or if there is a live component, that's fine. But yeah.
So to be clear, if they're getting an automated version of it, I do say in the email, it's very clear, this is a video I recorded earlier. So I want to make it clear to people that that's not live. I don't like the whole bait and switch where you think you're joining something live, but it's really pre-recorded. So I do make that really clear to people. But the engagement usually comes from a Facebook group. So if I decide to have a Facebook group for the challenge, people can interact in there. And I do interact in the Facebook group during the challenge. Mm-hmm. However, the interaction really comes with them responding to my emails. In almost every email that I send out during these challenges, I ask a very specific question or I ask for feedback, and people really love to respond to that, because I know for you, because you're not a sugar person, like just using the sugar example, giving up sugar seems really easy, but like that's a true addiction for people. There are people that are literally addicted to sugar, right? They cannot go throughout the day without, you know, drinking 4 Cokes or whatever it is. And so for them, having someone to sort of like be their personal coach, they will respond to my emails almost on a daily basis and let me know how they did, which is basically what I'm asking them, or like, what's your biggest struggle, or what's the one thing that you don't think you can give up, or, you know, something like that, or how did you do today? They'll respond to those. And so the connection comes from then I will usually respond to their emails for the most part. Now, sometimes emails just don't need a response. They're just sort of checking in. But I try to be very responsive during the challenges if I'm not doing the live component. If I'm doing the live component, I try to focus my energy on responding in the Facebook group or on the live videos.
So those no sugar challenges, just as an example, is there a Facebook group associated with that?
There
you
is.
Launch that one?
Yeah.
There is. Okay. And then people join that and then they talk with each other and supposedly, presumably you seed the conversation, right?
Yeah. So they'll, you know, post things like, hey, I did so good today. I went to a birthday party and I passed up a piece of birthday cake. You know, they'll post something like that. And then people will be like, oh, that's amazing. I'm so proud of you. Or, you know, they'll do that kind of thing.
I see. So is this ongoing or do you shut everything down at the end of the challenge?
So it's interesting because I know we'll talk about our thing in a minute. We shut our groups down. This is a group that I have. I have one group that's totally fitness related, fitness and health. And that group is not very active when there's not a challenge going on, but I never shut the group down. It's always open. So I just basically start interacting in the group during the challenges. I just don't. I think it's probably much more beneficial to open and close groups for challenges. But for me, that's not, this has become more of just an easy way to grow my email list. So for me, I'm not going to create a new group every time.
So you just mentioned that. How does this actually grow your email list? Are you running ads for the challenge?
I'm not running ads at all. The way it grows my email list is because I promote it on social media. I promote it on Pinterest. There is a blog post component. So I do write some content around it. And people stumble across it either through search, Pinterest, social media, and they join it. And they're typically not on my email list when they join the challenge. So, you know, every time I run a challenge, I'm going to grow my email list by a couple hundred to 1,000 people based on how much I'm promoting the challenge. You know, like I have one challenge that runs all the time. It's just like an automated sequence. And that's not really a challenge. It's more like a mini. It's almost like a mini course, right? But every time I run the challenge, what I think makes challenges great is, and especially for growing your email list, is that challenges are very shareable on social media. As you know, I love to do challenges. I've done a bunch of fitness challenges lately personally. And every single challenge that I've done personally, I've found because a friend of mine on Facebook shared it with me. And that is the power of doing these, is that, let's just use we'll just keep going to No Sugar because it's the easiest one.
Sure.
Let's just say, you know, I have a sweet tooth and I really want to, you know, curb that. And I want to do this no sugar challenge. Well, what am I going to do when I find this on the internet? I'm probably going to share it on my Facebook page and tag three of my friends that I know also love cupcakes and be like, hey, we should do this. We should, you know, give up cupcakes for the next 2 weeks, or we should all try to work out together. Cause that's what happens. How I find all my challenges that I participate in is because another one of my friends finds it through whoever, I don't even know, shares it with me. It's how I found the Goggins challenge. It's how I found that 75-day hard challenge. It's because someone else shared it with me. So what happens is people will find your challenges and tag friends or share with friends because no one wants to do this alone. And that's another thing is when you're creating these challenges, make sure in your copy, you talk about doing it with a group or with a friend. And the nice part is that people that don't have a community or a group of friends that they could do it with, they still get that community from you. But most people do have one or two people that they could do this with. And now it's not quite as relatable to what we're doing on the business side, because it's like, hey, let me find another person that wants to build a whole new business online, right? It's not quite the same. But for most people, think about it, like a no-spend challenge, right? No spend for the month of May. Well, wouldn't it be cool to find like your three best couple friends and be like, hey, guys, I know we always go out to eat every Friday night, but let's do like a no spend challenge and we're going to cook all our meals at our house for the next 4 weeks or whatever. Or, you know, a let's get our house organized challenge, right? So find a couple friends or get with your sister, whoever it is, like, hey, let's all work together to declutter. Like those things are so shareable that they help grow it organically. You don't have to put ad money behind it. You can, obviously, but it's not necessary.
So what are you getting out of the challenge at the end? Is there something that you sell for like the No Sugar Challenge, or is it just an email play?
The No Sugar Challenge has always been an email play.
Okay.
Some of my other challenges do have affiliate products at the end. And actually, I actually have a workbook for the No Sugar Challenge that I might end up selling at some point. I think the goal should be when you do these challenges to have something to sell at the end. But if you don't have anything, always do the affiliate play. I have affiliate plays throughout all my challenges. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for my fitness challenges, like, hey, this is the blender bottle that I use. Hey, this is the at-home workout equipment that I have. There's always something you can do. Even for us with our challenges, even if people don't end up buying the full course, we mention all these products throughout the challenge, right? We mention hosting, email provider, different tools and services that we use. And we're not hard selling them. We're just talking about how we use them in our business. But people end up signing up for them throughout the challenge because they're great and we're recommending them and we're showing them in use. And it's sort of an easy sell. So I would say if you're doing any kind of challenge, make sure you can work those types of things in it.
So let me ask you this, and this is like a selfish question. Why wouldn't I just take my mini course and turn that into a challenge perpetually?
I mean, it kind of is, right?
Well, like, what are the disadvantages of doing it that way?
Well, I think with a challenge, for the most part, like if you really want to run a challenge correctly, and we're going to walk through the steps of how we do our challenge, you really do need to have some sort of community component where you're talking to people every day or throughout that week or couple weeks. And I consider like my challenges when I'm actually running a true challenge, I'm involved. I'm doing live video. I'm in the community. I'm responding. And so that's a lot more work, which is why I only do like a live version of the challenge one or two times a year.
I see. But you do have ones where you don't actually get on.
I do. And those are still like a challenge because I'm challenging people to do something, but it's sort of run more like a mini course.
I see. Okay. I got it. Okay. So let's get through the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
And you have a lot more experience with this because I only run challenges one way, which is the way we do it.
Yeah.
So starting from the beginning, let's say someone wants to run a challenge. What are some of the first steps?
So I think you have to obviously get your topic, right? What are you going to write about? And I think the most important thing is it's got to be applicable to the audience you already have. Like for you, it would be silly for you. Well, actually, I don't know if it'd be silly for you to do like a workout challenge because that could be in the entrepreneur space as well. But it would be silly for you to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't do a workout challenge.
I'm just saying, like, I think you could even tie that in as far as like self-discipline. But let's just say you shouldn't be doing a declutter challenge. That's not your audience. Yeah.
I have no good examples.
I should not be doing a declutter challenge. But you want to make something applicable to the content that you either are planning on creating or have already created. So that's the first thing. It's got to be niche specific because that's the, you know, you're obviously doing this to get the right people on your email list and to get the right people interacting with you. So that's step one. I would say step two is be thinking about before you even get started, what are you going to sell?
Okay, right.
You know, either what are you going to sell or what are you going to promote affiliate wise? It's okay if you don't have anything, because I think a challenge is great for growing your email list, especially when you're brand new. Let's just say you have a newer site and you don't have a lot of traffic or page views. A challenge is a great way to sort of organically get promotion because people will share it. So, but make sure you have your email set up and everything. Like you have to have a working website with email and all that, I think, to get going. So I think those are the very first steps that you need to do.
So then after that, do you recommend a Facebook group?
Yeah. So, and I don't know how much we want to talk about how we do ours because we do not run our videos in a Facebook group. But if you are new and you don't want to spend any money on software or tools and you don't have the tech ability like you do to set up whatever system we use to host our videos, I would do it all in a Facebook group and I would do the videos live in the Facebook group.
Actually, I've always wondered about that. So the way we do it right now is we actually drive people to a landing page where I have control over like the buttons and everything so we can have calls to actions there.
Right.
Is there an advantage to doing it in the Facebook group as opposed to the way we've been doing it?
I would say there's probably a disadvantage to doing it in the Facebook group because one, you exclude people who aren't on Facebook, which I know is not a huge amount of people, but it's something. And then I would say the other thing is it is nice the way we do it where we're driving people to a landing page or if you're using like a webinar software, I'm sure they all do this, is that we do have the like buy now buttons. Whereas on Facebook, you can't really do that. Like everything that I do as far as having people take action is really run through the emails.
Right. Okay. I guess you could have just links in the description of the Facebook Live.
Or... And you can drop them in there and you can drop them in the comments as well. And typically everybody who's doing that does that way. But I do like the ability to basically make that page like almost like a sales page, because when we run our challenges, we do ours for a week. So each day of the video is on there, as well as links to buy the course, other important things. And in a Facebook group, things can get disorganized really quickly.
Right.
Okay. But I think a Facebook group is great if you're just getting started or you don't want to spend any money. Facebook group's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the budget version. And then if you want something a little bit more sophisticated, maybe you can just use webinar software or in our case, Jigger something up.
Yeah.
That works. Right?
Yes. I don't even know how it works, but miraculously my face appears on a video on a page.
Okay. So after that, it seems like a lot of your challenges are email based. Whereas the one that we run is not like that. I guess here's probably the biggest concern that most people have. How do you get them on the challenge? Like, what's your process?
So the first thing I do is write a piece of content about the challenge. But it's really not about the challenge. It's about my story. When I do the No Sugar Challenge, I talk about how I used to be a Coke addict. And we know what kind of Coke I'm talking about.
is it crack or is it the powder?
Just the powder.
The powder, okay.
But I talk about, hey, you know, 10, 11 years ago, however long it was now, I literally couldn't function without a big gulp every day. And I tell the story and I tell why I gave it up and how much better I felt. And, you know, I give all that. And then at the end, I say, hey, I know this is tough because I've done it and I want to help you do it too. So if you want to join me for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to show you how you can give it up in your own life so that you can see the benefits that I saw. So
interesting.
I write a piece of content that's, it's not just like, hey, starting Tuesday, we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. Like, there has to be something compelling to get people to want to join you. And to me, the easiest way to do that is to create a piece of content. You could create a video. It doesn't have to be written. And talk about why, what's the why? Why should people get behind this? Why should people join you?
I'm curious. How come we, so I do something like that with my other challenge because people already know my story.
Yeah.
For the profitable audience one that we run together, I guess a lot of the people are coming from my audience already, but how come we don't have that piece of content?
Well, as I was just talking, I was like, we need to do this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, it's funny because we used to do, we did this for one of the first challenges where we did, so we used to do an intro video, remember, like the day before the challenge started where you and I got on live and talked about like our own stories a little bit?
Yeah.
So I think we need to add that back in. I don't know if it necessarily has to be a live component, but I do think that's helpful.
So once you have that piece of content, how are you sharing? Do you just share it on your social channels?
So I share it on social. I share it. I put it on Pinterest. I do put that it's a challenge on social and Pinterest. And, you know, I know with Facebook, like there's different ways you can phrase things because Facebook always doesn't always like when you say things such as tag a friend or things like that. So there's, but I think it kind of happens organically. And for me, it's all about the story, and that's what gets people interested in joining. So when I say, hey, I gave up sugar, I lost 25 pounds, I slept better at night, you know, I did XYZ, that's pretty compelling.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, absolutely.
Oh, by the way, I've got a big family and I work full time and whatever. Like, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, just putting something out there that catches people in. If you can say like, hey, I was a massive hoarder, you know, couldn't walk through my living room, and now I figured out a way to organize everything in hampers. I don't know. Whatever it is, you know, just get hooked people.
I used to put all my notes on sticky notes, and then I kept losing them all over the place. And then I turned digital, and it was all good.
Are you going to do a digital challenge? I'll join. I'll fail it, but I'll
Step
join.
Step one is get rid of all the sticky notes in the house.
Get rid of all your notebooks all right. and Post-its. Yeah. So that's how I do it. You can also email your current list if you have a list, and let them know that you're doing a challenge. You might wonder, well, why would I do that if part of the goal is to get them on my email list? But a lot of times it will re-engage people who maybe were on your list but dormant.
Because I was just thinking that initial email where I introduced the challenge, after just our talk right now, I should probably structure it differently. I mean, people probably already know my story, but they might not. They might not have watched those first videos. So if I frame it in the beginning on how it was such a transformative process.
Yeah, because you never know how people end up on your list. I mean, you do know if you want to go parse everybody out, right? Like, you can figure that out. But in general, if you have more than 1,000 people on your email list, you probably don't know how they all ended up there unless you want to go read line by line. I think we have this assumption that like, oh, they're on my email list, so they must know who I am. But maybe they came across your site because of a share on social media and they just wanted a free download, or they just signed up because of something. And like, sometimes I'll get an email from somebody that like I clearly signed up for their list 5 years ago, but they maybe didn't email me all the time, or maybe the emails were going to a different folder. And I'm like, who the heck is this person? And I think that happens a lot. So I think even though we have this assumption that everyone knows who we are because they gave us their email, that's probably not 100% accurate. And I think I have a really high open rate with my engaged audience, but I have a really low open rate with a bunch of other people on my list. And so for me, another reason to do those challenges is to pull in some of those stragglers and get them re-engaged, and then, you know, have all my email perform better.
Yeah, actually, just even this conversation, I'm just thinking.
You're like, I'm revamping my entire strategy.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when you think about it, like, the open rate on your emails and your autoresponder sequences maybe is like 50%, right? But that means half the people aren't reading your story and they don't really know who you are. They're just in it maybe for like the content of your posts.
Yeah.
Which a lot of times don't have your story. So that first intro email to the challenge should always be a backstory on why this is meaningful for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good advice. Okay. So let's say you get people on the challenge. Then what? Like, what are your options? Well, I mean, what are the different ways to structure your challenge? You already mentioned a couple, right? So the way we do ours is we literally go live every single day for a week.
Yep.
And we teach them something. And after each one of those lessons, there's action items on what they should do. And by the end of the week, you should have this and this and that, right?
Yeah. So I think that you just brought up a really good point. One of the key components of a challenge is it has a firm start and a firm end.
Okay.
Versus a mini course where someone can join in a mini course at any time, or a support group, or, you know, anything like that. They can, if someone can take your mini course any day of the week, right? And there's no beginning, no end. They're just on it forever and ever. With a challenge, we start Monday, July 3rd or whatever it is, you know, and we end Friday, July 8th or 7th, whatever day that would be. I don't know. And I think that's the important thing is with a challenge, there's a firm start date and a firm end date. And then throughout the challenge, there are very, very structured action items that people need to be taking throughout the challenge. So for ours, day one, we want you to think about how you're going to make money. Day two, we're going to talk about SEO. We're going to give you some SEO action items that you can do on your website. Day three, this of the last challenge, we talked about Pinterest. There were some pretty, you know, get your Pinterest business account, make sure your boards have descriptions, things like that. Day four, we talked about, I can't remember day four, what was day four?
Email.
I was like, wait, well, we switched it
the
around.
Most important lesson, actually.
Yeah, email. And so day four, it's like, hey, you don't have an email service provider. Like, you need to get your service provider set up. You don't have a form on your website. Get the form set up. So I think that's the important thing is there's 4 days. It's very structured. There's very specific topics, just like in my No Sugar Challenge. I mean, day one, I ask people, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to participate? Because if you don't have a why, you're not going to be able to do it. Day two, you have to throw all the sugar out in your house. Right. It's very, very structured. Like, that's all you do on day two is throw away everything in your house that has sugar in it.
How necessary do you feel like the live component is to a challenge?
I think the live component is pretty important. If it can't be live, I do recommend some sort of video. If it's, because I know not everybody's comfortable going live. It is a little nerve-wracking if you don't do it all the time. I know before you did your first webinar, you watched a ton of webinars. You practiced. I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking because people, it's almost like people can heckle you, right, when you're live. So if you're like, I'm just terrified to be live, then pre-record videos for each day. We could have pre-recorded the videos for our challenge and played them and then answered Q&A in the comments. I don't think it's quite as effective. I think people like the live component, but you can do that. If that's your stumbling block, then just pre-record.
Yeah, I guess there's value in being live because then you can actually call out people's names.
Yes.
Well,
I think that's
questions.
Another big part of the challenge is if you are doing a live component, you need to call people out by their name.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there was a way to do that. I guess you could play a canned recording.
Yeah.
And then you could go live just to answer questions maybe at the end.
But I would say if you're afraid of being live on video, you can answer the questions in either a chat box like we have, or if you're on Facebook, you can create a thread where you're just going to answer questions about the video that played.
Okay.
I also think the live component's important because it forces people to join together as a community to watch the live. So I know for us, when we go live, you know, day one, it's fine. By day three, people are interacting with each other in the comments, which then pushes to a greater accountability. And especially if you have something to sell, if you can build enough of a community, people are going to want to take that next step and join the next community that you have, which is a paid one, right? Whether from a course or anything like that. And that community component is actually pretty important. The best way to do that is through the live component.
So what's funny about this is we just ran a challenge that pretty much spanned 2 weeks.
Yes.
And there were a lot of the people on there were literally there for those 2 weeks every single day.
And think about this. And I don't know if you caught on to all this, and you probably did, but we had these people that, you know, they did the first week with you and then they did the second week with both of us, and we gave them nicknames. We gave seriously though, like we made nicknames, we joked with them, they gave themselves nicknames, they were talking to each other, but all that was not an accident. Like I nicknamed them on purpose, right? Because I wanted them to have that feeling of I'm a part of something, I'm being recognized, I'm important, and it's not phony, it's real. I do think they're important and I do want them to be recognized because it's a lot to hang out with us for 2 weeks in a row. Trust me, we hang out with each other that long, we're about to kill each other. So, but you know what I mean? Like all of that is on purpose because you want to make people feel like, I mean, people are lonely in general. People feel isolated and anything that you can do to help people connect with you or with somebody else is another selling point for whatever you have to sell them.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's actually, I didn't pick up on that. I just didn't realize. I mean, this is what you're good at, so yeah. I shouldn't be surprised at you. for me, I just talk with the people and just even interacting with them, period, right? They develop a connection with you. And there, I remember there's at one point, actually, there was a discussion among the other people in the chat. And so it was hard for us to figure out what was questions for us.
Yes, because there's like these sub chats going on, which is, it's annoying when you're trying to answer questions, but it's amazing as far as the effectiveness of the challenge. And so I think that anytime you can get the people that are participating with you to become friends with each other or connect with each other, they're not really friends. And I think the other thing to think about too is, and this is why I think the live or video component is so important, is maybe someone is on your email list and they've followed you for a couple of years. They don't know you. They don't interact with you. I mean, they might send you an email. You could possibly respond to them. But you are sort of this pseudo celebrity to people, right? Because the only way they know you is through the lens of the internet. So right. When you hop on a live and you literally are talking to the screen and you say, hey, Robert, I'm so happy to have you on today. How's the dog? Right? Or you bring up some little piece of information that maybe they talked about the day before, or I love your domain choice, or hey, how did you do getting rid of all that cereal in your house, Kathy, whatever. All of that. All of a sudden, you go from this sort of pseudo celebrity to their friend. Once again, another step in the process of them buying from you.
You know, I was just thinking about this. The way we run it right now, there's this live chat, but it actually disappears after a couple of days. Whereas if you're on the Facebook group, that whole chat stream is still there.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if it's valuable to preserve all that.
I mean, I would wonder how many people would go back through and read it, personally. Okay. I think during the week of the challenge or the time of the challenge, whether it's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, I also think a challenge can only go about 3 weeks. I don't think anything more than that is not doable on your part. As far as like, because it is a lot of work. It's tiring. Even my no sugar challenges, I only go live for like 5 or 6 minutes in the morning. But still 5 or 6 minutes every single day, that adds up.
Yeah, especially since that challenge is 30 days, right?
It's 21.
21. Okay.
Like 21 days to build up. Yeah. But that's a lot to go live every single day because it's basically like you can't have any appointments. You can't have anything scheduled. I try to go live pretty early, like 7 a.m., which is not ideal because then anyone on the West Coast misses it because I'm East Coast. But for me, it's the only time that I can like realistically say that I can go live every day.
So the other advantage of doing it on the Facebook group is that people are forced to go there and hang out.
Yes.
Whereas I was thinking the way we do it on a separate page, they actually have to sign up for the Facebook group separately, right?
Yeah.
How do you get people over to the Facebook group?
Well, I don't have a problem with that because that's where I put my videos.
Right.
For us, for the challenge we run, we put specific information in there that they can't really get anywhere else. Although we'll still give it to them at some point, but it's more difficult. We make the Facebook group a painless way to get all the information. The other thing that we push, which I feel like sometimes works better than others, is that we basically encourage people to ask us questions in the group. Like we try to be more responsive in the group. I almost think as I'm talking about this now for us, we should say we're not taking any email support questions.
That's actually what I did in my last challenge.
Yeah.
Like the one like without all you. Of, yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay.
The one I did
leave me out of this.
Well, no, I was just curious what you had to say because that's exactly what I did with the last one.
Yeah. Run all your support through the Facebook group.
Yeah. Because I got a lot less emails, which is great because I got in the past a lot of the same questions, right?
Yeah.
Which I could just now answer in one place. So,
yeah. Well, because people ask the same like 6 questions every time. Like when I do the no sugar challenge, I get, does honey count every single time? I get 5 emails. Does honey count as a sugar? Right.
Oh.
So,
imagine the answer is yes, right?
Actually, I'm pretty lenient with the sugar challenge. I feel like for most people, because most people that I'm dealing with in these challenges need to lose over 50 pounds. And so for me, just give up like standard white sugar. You're going to see a huge difference in your life. People are not getting obese from honey, you know, so I don't.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, absolutely not. Throw it all away. No honey, no dates. Get rid of your oranges. But I think that's a better way to get people in the Facebook group. And also I noticed, especially because I was, well, this is a total side note, but we use Gorgeous, which I know we talk about all the time. They don't sponsor us, but they sponsor Seller Summit.
Yeah.
But we use Gorgeous, and the app on the phone is not as easy to use as like on the desktop. And
yep.
So when I was gone this weekend and I was checking everything on my phone, I couldn't tell if it was a challenge email or if it was an actual student in the course email. Like I couldn't figure out where, like what the priority was, because obviously students get a huge priority for us. And so I was having trouble parsing through all the information. So I think that would be another reason to get rid of people emailing us during the challenge, because then it gets mixed in with student emails, which obviously, however, challenge emails are important, because the more responsive you are, the more likely people are to buy from you once again.
So one thing that we did in the past was we actually made certain resources available only on the Facebook group to encourage people to sign up.
Yep.
But then what ended up happening is like people were like, hey, wait, I go where to get what? Because and this is just basically a cautionary tale of what not to do. We had a page with all the challenge resources and the replays for our videos. We had the Facebook group, and we also had a special page that was like the workshop page where you would watch the live presentations, those three places. And it took a long time for me to like figure this out, but people were getting lost, right? Do I go on this page? Do I get on this page? So now everything is on one page.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about what you said on the Facebook group. Like if you were to do everything on the Facebook group, they would only have to go in one place for everything. So I was just wondering, maybe that makes sense, or even just have the interaction all on the same page and knock out Facebook altogether.
Yeah, I don't know if I would knock out Facebook altogether for most people. I think it's a natural gathering place, and I see it. It's so successful. I would say I would be very hesitant to just get rid of Facebook.
Okay, because people are still on that all the time.
People are on it all the time, and like every challenge that I participate in, it's run solely through the Facebook groups.
I see.
I'm not even on any email list, which I think is poor management on the challenge part. But at the same time, like the Facebook groups, I mean, when I log on to Facebook, which is not a ton, almost all my notifications are from the challenge groups because they're so active.
Yeah. The other thing that we did recently that we changed for the last couple challenges is we introduced text messaging.
Yes.
Because email, you know, even if they want it, for some reason, there's only a 50% open rate, whereas text message is like 90% open rate or more, and the click-through rate is off the charts. So the way we encourage people to get on SMS, because you obviously can't ask for an email and an SMS and all this stuff right up front, we only give out the free resources pretty much through SMS, and we don't do a resend. So,
but yet we end up sending it to people who can't open it.
We do, but that frequency has gotten a lot less since the SMS. I don't know if you noticed this time, but when I did it for the first time with SMS, I didn't get any emails saying, hey, I didn't get this, I didn't get that.
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit how we run our challenge. So we do ours for a week.
Yep.
It's 4 days, Monday through Thursday. We are selling a product at the end, which is the course, the Profitable Audience course. So we start the challenge on a Monday. We go live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. I don't know if that's even important, but that's what we do. And then we offer a discount on the course for people that have participated in the challenge. And we close the discount. So anyone can buy our course at any time, but we close the discount from the challenge on the Sunday at midnight. So that's how our challenges run.
Yeah. And then I'm just thinking about this now, kind of like out loud.
And then we'll do another podcast. We'll completely revamp our challenge based on this podcast.
Well, I'm just thinking, when you do your no sugar challenges, there's no real sell, right?
It's just affiliates. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if it even makes sense to sell in the beginning when they don't know you at the beginning of the challenge.
I don't think it does. I was actually going to talk to you about that later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, the reason why is one thing that we do is we offer a one-on-one consult. Mm-hmm. Like if you sign up on like the first couple of days. Yeah. And what I found is like whenever I run one of my challenges, people will sign up, like a lot of people will sign up on day one mm-hmm. for that consult. Or this is like the third challenge that they've joined with me and they're just ready to sign up now. That's why I bring it up. But what is your thought process?
I think it makes sense for profitable online store because you're a known commodity. I think for what we're doing, and if you're maybe a little bit newer, we've only been doing this for a year and a half. People are still trying to figure out what exactly we are and what we're doing. I don't know if I would hard sell or even sell at all on the first day.
And so not even mention it.
Not really. Although I would probably be a little more, less subtle on course resources during the presentation. Like I would weave a little bit of more in there. So like there's clearly something, but yet we're not selling it.
I see.
Wait till the second day.
What about the bonuses for like the consult and everything?
I just think we don't usually have a lot of people sign up on the first day. It's the second day that people sign up. So I think we could wait till the second day to even talk about it.
Interesting. Like for me, like the last challenge that we literally just did, mm-hmm. a whole bunch of people signed up on that first day. I was surprised.
Not our challenge.
No. The one
Your
that I
challenge.
Did. Yeah. The one that I did without you.
Yeah. We typically get the majority of our signups at the end of this challenge, like the last 2 days, people sign up.
Yeah, whereas for the one that I do by myself, it's always the first and the last day, and it's like crickets in the middle.
Yeah, and we get people trickling in the middle. So I think it's because the lesson resonates with them.
I see. Maybe that makes sense.
I think that's why. Like the lesson it's the lesson they needed to get unstuck, and that's why it sells the course. But it's such different types of content. But let's go back to just how we run our challenge, because I think there's a couple more things that we do other than the schedule. We don't write a post about it, but you send an email out. I send an email out to people who are on our 6-day mini course. So people who have signed up for the mini course, we email them. You email other people on your list. The way people sign up for our challenge is through a click to tag.
Right.
So basically, the people get the email from us. If they want to join the challenge, all they do is click on the link. It tags them. For this example, April 2021 challenge was the tag that I used. I don't know what tag you use, but it doesn't matter. And then those people automatically will be sent any challenge email. So that's step one, is you got to tag the people, especially if they're coming off your main list, to the challenge list. Because you can't just send everybody on your main list everything about the challenge if they don't sign up.
I've actually seen people do that, though, by the way.
I have, too. And I will unsubscribe at some point, especially because we send a lot. Well, we send a lot of emails with the challenge.
Yes. At least three per day, actually.
Yes, exactly. So once they're tagged as participants of the challenge, do they get an email the day before the challenge starts? I can't remember now that I'm talking about
this. They don't. It's usually the morning of, 8 hours before it's actually going to go.
So we send out an email that morning. Actually, those emails are not the same that you send and I send. All the other emails we send out are the same, but those are different.
Right.
I noticed. So the email that I send, and yours, it's similar, is basically telling people what we're going to talk about that night, introducing them to the challenge, and then letting them know what time it is, where they can – gigantic links on how to find the video.
Yeah, gigantic links.
You can't make a font big enough to do this, I'm telling you. And usually – in very big print, also the time. And I think we do, what do we do? East Coast and Pacific? I think those are the two time zones.
I was thinking about adding all the time zones in there at some point.
Yeah. Well, we can't do all of them, but at least U.S.
In the U.S.,
time zones.
Yeah. Central. Yeah.
So that's the first email, and that goes out in the morning. And then we both send an email out an hour before the challenge starts to say, hey, we're going to be live in an hour. This is the topic. Gigantic, huge, giant button. Click here to watch. And then the final one goes out 5 minutes before the challenge. The one thing that we both put in this one, which I don't always see people do, or I don't actually know if you put this in it, I put it in the one I send, is, hey, we're already live in the chat if you want to come talk to us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think you do that too. And that, for me, I think it gets people wanting to click over and join because they think they get like a little extra chance to talk to us and get like early access. And it's not hard because we're usually already logged on anyway, because we've got to be making sure everything's working. So we have the chat open, and if people have questions,
Like, yeah, when I'm going online with you, I always get on early. By myself, I'll just show up on.
You're like 4:59. You're rolling in. So that's the email that goes out every single day during the actual video challenge time. So Monday for us, Monday through Thursday, those emails go out, 3 emails a day. And then the live component of the challenge is over for us.
Right. And then we just, that replay, we use YouTube Live. So that video just naturally turns into a replay automatically at the spot where it's posted.
And then, we'll just use ours as an example because that's what we're doing. Then Friday, we send out the next email.
And in the case of us, when we're trying to actually sell something that's a pretty big ticket item, we always try to over-deliver, giving extra resources. Tony always puts together this incredible-looking, professional-looking PDF, which is amazing. That in itself could be sold for money, in my opinion.
It will be. It will be at some point.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
So we send out an email on Friday, and that email basically addresses some of the frequently asked questions that we get.
Yep.
Giant links to buy the course, giant links to watch the replays, because another component of our challenge, which I do not do in my challenges, is we actually take all the videos down on Sunday night. So
can we talk about the pros and cons of doing that?
Yeah.
What are they?
Okay. I mean, the cons are people email us the week afterwards going, I can't find the videos.
But without that, there'd be no sense of urgency, right?
The sense of urgency to watch the videos or buy.
Yeah, to consume them or to even buy, actually.
Yes. I think the pro is there's a sense of urgency for people to watch the videos and to buy the course because they lose access to all of that. I think the con is it realistically, like I think about my life personally. I would never be able to do a week-long challenge and give up an hour and a half every night and watch the videos and consume the content. I wouldn't, because when we do the challenges, I have to like arrange for my kids to get taken places. Like, and I'm doing that because this is making me money. But as a consumer, I wouldn't be able to commit to that with my life. So I would have to be able to watch the videos later or at least a couple nights. I wouldn't be able to attend all 4 nights live. But then I think like this past weekend, we ended our challenge. I was at a cheer competition for most of the weekend. So I wouldn't have been able to actually watch those videos. Now I was able to like check our emails and things like that, but like to actually sit down and consume content as someone who wanted to learn, that would have been nearly impossible for me to do. So by the time I got home at Sunday night at 8:00. So I would have had to sit there and binge watch 6 hours of us. that's not a selling point. I don't know.
So walk me through the thought process then. So would you leave the things up for an additional 3 or 4 days then?
Okay, but then here's the con. Here's the other side of that. If I'm not forced to watch it then, am I ever going to watch it? No, probably not.
Yeah, as soon as the live component's over, there's less incentive to watch a recorded video.
Right. Right. So I think the chances of me actually going back and watching all of them is probably very slim as a consumer. So I think taking them down is definitely, I think it's probably a pro at the end of the day because we don't open and close our course. So I think about like B-School with Marie Forleo, and she opens B-School up once a year for, I think, 10 days you have to sign up. Well, there's a huge sense of urgency. And it's funny because when she closes the cart, I think like on March 1st or whatever day she closes the cart, in the Facebook group and things like that, you see people that are like, I can't believe I didn't do it. They immediately have regret, right, that they didn't sign up within like 12 to 24 hours. And she does not sell that course. Like, you're done. You're not in B-School. So you see people throughout the entire year talking about, I'm going to do it next year. I'm ready, blah, blah, blah. And so like the next time, I guarantee like the first day she opens B-School, her sales are probably skyrocketing because of all the people that chose not to buy the year before.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So we don't do that. Our course is open year round. You can always buy the course. You can always join. And so there has to be some level of urgency to get people to make a decision, because the way that you get people to buy is you put the fire under them, right? So for Marie, it's that she only opens the course 10 days out of the year. For us, we can do that two ways. We have a discount that goes away.
Right.
And we take what education we did provide them, we remove from them. So they still get the PDF. They still get access. They still can have that to keep forever and ever, but they don't have the videos forever and ever. The negative, the downside of that, I would say, is that for the group of people that do have a chance to go back and watch it, if they were available for a longer period of time, I do think the videos and the teachings sell the course because of the comprehensive nature of what we give away for free in the webinars. Yeah. So I think that there's probably, we miss out, but like we do the, we don't just do one challenge, we do them regularly. So people can come and buy the next time. So it's not like they're completely missing out, but I do think that that could hurt us a little bit for that reason.
Yeah. It's really hard to tell actually, unless you try all the different methods.
Yeah.
But well, in any case, let's wrap this up. So the challenge is really good if you want to build your email list, create buzz, and create a connection really with the people that follow you, right? Because there's like live interaction, and you recommend a live component, obviously, and some sort of group where you can interact and have the other people as part of the challenge build camaraderie, right?
I think that's a really important part of having a challenge. You can do this a lot of other ways, just don't call it a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like to me it just requires a lot more work, but if you can pull it off, it's a much better sales vehicle than just like a workshop or a course. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually really even considering turning my mini course into a challenge and have a Facebook group, maybe without the live component to it, though, I guess. The live component.
I have some ideas. We could talk about this offline. I have some ideas that actually just came to me. But
okay.
I think the Facebook group, any sort of group component is important. I think the live interaction is really important. And I think if you are a newer content creator or if you have a newer channel that you're trying to build, a challenge is a really good way to get people on board and even just introduce themselves to you. You and I have talked about this a lot. You've had people who have been on your email list and gone through 4, 5, 6 of your challenges, and then they buy the course.
Yes.
And sometimes, and this is especially, if you are selling a $49 product, run a challenge every month. Like run a 5-day challenge every single month. You'll sell products all day long. You don't even have to do half as much work. But if you have a bigger ticket item over several hundred dollars, the challenge component I think is critical because people need to feel comfortable with you and need to be able to trust you. And the challenge is, I think, the best way to do that as far as just building that relationship with people. And you have people that have come to 4 or 5 of them and then bought your course because they finally felt comfortable with you and finally felt ready. Maybe they had the money too, but you know, you got to get people to that point where they're willing to open their wallets.
Yeah. The fundamental thing that I've learned over the years just selling the classes, people buy the class for you and from people they like.
Yep.
Not necessarily the material that's being taught, but just who's teaching it, really. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.